Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 16, Number 5. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was time-restricted feeding. Every major organ in the human body has a circadian clock that tells the organ when and when not to be active. These biological time clocks are synchronized genetically as one complete circadian system that play an enormously important role in how our physical body and conscious mind operate. Our circadian clock is controlled both by light and by eating. These clocks are affected not only by what we eat, but when. Evidence suggests that due to environmental influence and genomic factors, humans are better suited to consume food within a 12-hour period beginning after our first exposure to food or drink in the morning. Like light, food tells our organs when to time their activity. For example, when we eat instructs the liver clock when to turn on certain genes and when to turn them off. These genes influence the outcome of our biology, health, and performance. Eating within a 12-hour period has been shown to reduce body fat mass, increase lean muscle tissue, lower inflammation, improve heart function with age, increase mitochondrial volume, activate ketone body production, improve the process of tissue repair, and improve anaerobic endurance. So it appears that when we eat really does matter, but what we eat is equally as important. Eating the right food at the right time is a terrific way to stay well and prevent chronic degenerative disease. My topic on this edition of Clinical Review is melatonin, the brain bio-antioxidant. Melatonin is involved in circadian rhythms. It is formed inside the pineal gland and is known to depress gonadal function in mammals. The word itself is translated from the Greek words melos and tonos, meaning extreme darkness and stretching or to prolong. The pineal gland, some people say pineal gland, so whatever you say, we sort of know what you're getting at here. The pineal gland, named for its resemblance to the pine cone, lies deep within the brain between the two cerebral hemispheres. Its principal cellular component is the pineal oocyte. The pineal gland is rich in blood supply and known for its secretory function. It contains a number of peptides, neurotransmitters, and of course, melatonin, the major pineal hormone. Melatonin is produced from the neurotransmitter serotonin, which is derived from the essential amino acid tryptophan. There's another word. You can say tryptophan, tryptophan. Take your pick. Melatonin also occurs naturally in human milk and in a variety of common plant foods, including rolled oats, brown rice, bananas, beets, sweet corn, cucumbers, and tomatoes. Melatonin is released into the bloodstream in the absence of light. High levels are secreted during the nighttime with a peak around 1 to 4 a.m. Although exposure to light, bright light, is essential to its production, the brain enzymes that convert serotonin into melatonin are suppressed by light. Chemically speaking, melatonin is known as N-acetyl-5-methoxyserotonin. It is uniquely both water and lipid soluble, which allows it to protect all parts of the cell by virtue of its powerful antioxidant properties. This is its connection to the brain as a significant anti-aging antioxidant. Melatonin readily crosses cellular and tissue membranes, including the blood-brain and placental barriers. It is also dependent on the neurotransmitter norepinephrine, which acts as a beta agonist and is provided by sympathetic nerve tracts in the brain. Melatonin synchronizes the entire hormone cascade from within the brain, strongly influencing the release and interaction of several other hormones. It is the major neuroendocrine modulator of diurnal and circadian biorhythms in humans. Diurnality is a form of plant or animal behavior characterized by activity during the day with a period of sleeping or other inactivity at night. Not only does melatonin promote sleep, but it also affects the transition period of puberty in children. Highest nocturnal levels of melatonin occur in 10-year-old kids on average just before puberty, with levels averaging around 120 picograms per milliliter. By age 30, it declines to around 40 picograms per milliliter, and then by age 70, it is down to an average of only 10 picograms per milliliter. This means that by age 30, it has diminished by over 60% of youthful levels, and by age 70, the body yield is 90% less than that of a 10-year-old. This is why taking the supplement to compensate for age makes sense, and why for so many adults it is extremely beneficial as a sleep aid. Melatonin has the opposite effects of adrenaline. So think of adrenaline and it gets you up, melatonin brings you down. It lowers the heart rate, relaxes the muscles, and encourages a period of restful sleep. It also stimulates the body's production of brown adipose tissue, or BAT, B-A-T, that converts calories into heat, thereby increasing metabolism. It also helps to reset the body's internal clock, and together with the thymus gland, it increases T-cell antibody production, which protects against a variety of diseases. Melatonin decline with age is so reliable that it is possible to use levels of melatonin as one measure of biological aging. Less of it is also released throughout our lives because of our routine exposure to artificial light in the evening. And this is probably the main reason why so many of us have so many problems related to sleeping in terms of not being able to fall asleep or falling asleep and waking up or having whatever difficulty it is that you are challenged by in relation to how you now sleep compared to how you used to sleep as a young puppy. Exposure to such light, this nighttime artificial light, inhibits melatonin release. This is where lifestyle and the type of work we do really counts. People that work shift work, people that stay up late with light, I mean, you got to think about what you're doing because you're moving in the wrong direction. You're going to have a lot of problems later on as you hit into your 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's not if, but when. Synthetic light allows us to stay up and remain conscious longer. We watch TV and eat or read. Perhaps we socialize with friends or catch up on some extra work. This interferes with the normal evolutionary adaptation patterns of melatonin release. So in the same way that the paleo diet is kind of attached to the ancient traditional way of eating, you know, the hunting-gathering, because our genes were born during that time and haven't had enough time to change. We're kind of stuck with these ancient genes. This makes sense. It ties in. So what we're doing is we're modernizing ourselves in spite of the lag time that our bodies and our brains and our cells need to catch up. The process of change has been exponential. You know, it was kind of the line was flat for a long time and then it just went right up super high really quickly. And that's causing a lot of troubles with health. Without synthetic light, we would naturally retire earlier, thus maximizing both growth hormone and melatonin activity. It's not only melatonin that you don't release without that good sleep, it's growth hormone. And how important is that? Hence the saying, early to bed, early to rise makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's the saying that I was raised up on as a kid. I think my mother told me that 200,000 times. And it was all about going to bed because what little kid who loves life wants to go to bed? At least I never did. I wanted to stay up with the big people. Affecting approximately 2% of the population, night eating syndrome is characterized by the consumption of high calorie food like pizza, and or the majority of one's calories after midnight. a behavior linked in cause to emotional stress and chronic cortisol elevation and just plain old pleasure seeking. You know, it tastes good, eat it. Night eating syndrome also correlates to low nighttime levels of melatonin and serotonin deficiency. So there's the depression. There's the anxiety. There is a myriad of mental health problems associated with serotonin abnormalities. Now, this is what the SSRI drugs are all about. And they really don't work because they don't deal with the cause. The cause is biological because we're biological units. As a dietary supplement, melatonin is popular in the treatment of insomnia, jet lag, depression, seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and cancer. As a sleep aid, it is said to enhance REM, R-E-M, and slow-wave sleep patterns by quenching free radicals known to oxidize cholesterol and LDL cholesterol fractions. It helps protect the body and the brain from damage. It may be at least twice as effective as vitamin E, and don't forget your vitamin E, very important, critically essential as a lipid-soluble antioxidant. I love the combination of melatonin and E working in my body. And it's more effective, melatonin, than E in protecting cell membranes. And it's sometimes even more potent in research than glutathione, our body's endogenously produced enzyme. This is really important for health and longevity. And it's even better than that in some of the research in neutralizing hydroxyl free radicals. Rats, for example, treated with melatonin, sustain 41 to 99% less oxidative damage to their cellular DNA. Its connection with scavenging free radicals may explain its value in the treatment of disease and why it has increased the lifespan of lab animals by up to 20%. Although common dosages of melatonin range between 1 to 3 milligrams, higher quantities may be advised by a health professional. 10 milligrams mildly stimulates growth hormone release by inhibiting the release of somatostatin. High dosages, 50 to 75 milligrams, for example, may reduce testosterone in men and act as a natural birth control for women. Melatonin is known to have an anti-estrogenic effect through its action on estrogen receptors and influences the release of gonadotropin-releasing hormone. This hormone is thought to be the main controlling hormone of the female menstrual cycle. In children, 5 to 10 milligrams of melatonin may delay the onset of puberty. So it is safe and helpful to give it to children, small children that are hyper and, you know, having difficulty going to bed. My daughter Ruby has been, you know, taking this approach for at least a couple of years with melatonin. She uses the liquid form in the drops and just walks around and goes drop, drop in both their mouths. It tastes good and it seems to be helpful. And they take a bunch of other supplements and they have an excellent diet. So we're not too concerned about any negative effects on it because the research points out that it is generally very, very safe. And we're not using quantities that would put us into a questionable zone. When directed towards training and athletic performance, melatonin can be taken as an antioxidant to protect tissues from free radicals created through intense exercise and as a calming substance to offset adrenal responses induced through stress. Intense exercise causes the release of excess cortisol, which depletes tryptophan and consequently decreases both serotonin and melatonin. Melatonin counters some of the effects of cortisol by causing the release of vasopressin, a cortisol antagonist. In this regard, melatonin may be utilized as an effective anti-catabolic, which would help defend hard-earned muscle tissue from potential breakdown. Melatonin has also demonstrated some analgesic effects, which could theoretically increase the pain threshold experienced in exhaustive-type exercise training. Melatonin's amine structure, it's an amine, that's the type of hormone it is. Its amine structure allows it to enter the bloodstream from the gut when taken orally. It is not broken down by the digestive system, as oral SOD or IGF-1 would be, for example. For immune stimulation and the cortisol reduction benefit, 3 to 9 milligrams taken just before bedtime is recommended. Melatonin can be administered by injection, nasal spray, sublingual drops, skin cream, and transdermal patch, but the more common form occurs in tablets or capsules. Although melatonin is a hormone, it is surprisingly safe to use. The real danger lies in the use of end organ hormones, such as androgens, testosterone, estrogen, hormones at the bottom of the chain. So the ones at the top are much safer to play around with than the ones at the bottom. In hormonal health, nutritional and hormonal strategies for emotional well-being and intellectual longevity, printed in 1996, Dr. Colgan strongly advocates the use of melatonin as a means of inhibiting brain aging and as a means of restoring the circadian synchrony of the entire endocrine system. He recommends the sublingual form approximately 1 hour prior to bedtime. Melatonin is a safe and highly practical dietary supplement. It's also very inexpensive. If you're having trouble sleeping or relaxing, or perhaps you're challenged with anxiety, or maybe you're a hard gainer and can't seem to gain muscle in spite of routine, hard, and heavy physical training, why not give melatonin a shot? It could be the ticket that you need. Remember the CHI Prime Directive: supply your biological demand. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Thomas Dekker, 17th century English dramatist, poet, and writer. "Sleep is that golden chain that ties health and our bodies together."